What highs and lows will the amphitheatre of Brands Hatch provide this weekend is the Brands Hatch Indie Preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back for another race weekend, the second one in 2026. And again, we will be off down to Brands once. Well, maybe for both days, we'll see. But at least for the Sunday, nice early start.
Yeah, but we are staying over the night before to make things a little bit easier. We're undecided if we're doing the full weekend. I think probably not. I think we'll do that in Snetton because it's closer for us. But we'll, as you say, definitely be there on the Sunday for the action that awaits us. Are you looking forward to having the touring cars back? F1 has had come back after its mini hiatus. Are you ready for touring cars to return?
Yeah, it's certainly going to provide lots of action, I think. And especially after the opening weekend at Donington, where we had plenty of action and plenty of talking points. I'm sure it will produce plenty more this weekend.
Yep, absolutely. Talking of those talking points, lots of talking. If you want more talking of the talking points, we did do an April roundup podcast video, which you can watch or listen to, depending on your preferences, which covers all of the April goings-on in the touring car world. We'll be doing another one come the end of May. I just want to say as well, thank you to Dan on Facebook, who has taken the time out to explain the boost issues. It's good to have another podcast that does do his research. You can take a few lessons from him, I'm sure.
Someone cleverer than both of us, so, I think, as well.
Dan, if you want a job, I mean, you know, the jury's out on this one. But yeah, so I think what we'll probably do is cover off all the boost and stuff in the May roundup. Might even do a put out there your questions answered kind of thing for May, which I've just thought of on the spot, hence your panic and surprise in your eyes. But never mind. What shouldn't be too much of a panic is that we are talking Brands Hatch this weekend. So we'll do our usual thing of has Sam done his research brackets? No. So Brands Hatch, Seven Oaks down in Kent. Seven corners, which I think is a little bit
it's generous.
Optimistic.
It's
yep.
generous,
yep.
yes.
1.21 miles, and it debuted in 1958 in terms of touring car racing. Would you like to have a wild guess at who has the qualifying lap record around here?
Let's go for Ash Sutton.
No. Would you like a secondary guess?
Is it Ingram?
No. Okay. It's Jake Hill, set last year at 46.5 in the BMW.
When they realised they had a rocket ship for one weekend.
Exactly that. Yes. Would you like to guess the race lap record?
Is it Jake Hill?
It is not.
Go on then.
It's Tom Ingram with a 47.1, also set last year. In terms of last year, it's always a good grounding point to see how the drivers and cars in particular got on.
BMWs were rapid.
They were indeed. So Hill took pole, and then race one was Hill from Rainford from Ingram, race two De Leon from Morgan from Sutton, and then race three Rainford from Hill from Ingram. So yeah, it was a BMW / Hyundai stronghold. Are you expecting a similar thing this weekend?
We already kind of sort of have some understanding of what cars are going to be like out the track because we have media day there this year, which is always helpful. But we've seen some drivers be more or less competitive on that opening weekend. And I certainly think there are drivers out there that are going to be wanting to prove a point, continue the point that they have proved already. I think we were personally, I was a little surprised by how much speed and general trouble they kept out of the BMWs at Donington.
Yep.
And we know they normally go well round here as well. So I'm expecting a fairly strong weekend from them. And we know that PMR looked really quick at media day. So it could be a weekend again for them to capitalise, especially after the really good outing that they had at Donington.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. And it'll be interesting to see how Plato Racing can go. Obviously, they were, I'd say, mid-pack. I'm going to get pelters. Mid-pack in
it's
the...
Right, you haven't seen my predictions yet.
Oh, okay. Mid-pack in the testing here at media day. Obviously, as we always say, you take them a pinch of salt. However, yeah, they certainly weren't the quickest cars on the grid that day. And they had an interesting start to the season at Donington Park. Obviously, took the race to pole, the qualifying. I'll try it again. Obviously, they qualified well in the initial qualifying stage, and then Rowbottom took the race to pole win through the penalty. The history books will show that he started the season
all the
on pole.
Cares about.
Exactly. I don't necessarily think we'll have as strong a showing this weekend. We'll have to see. I think that for me, it's very hard to look past the BMWs or the Hyundais for this circuit. History tells us that The Ford Focus has been good around here over the years, but wasn't as strong last year. And of course, we've got also consider it's a very small circuit, and there is the boost reductions, obviously, which will take place up and down the grid based on championship position.
Dare I say, I don't think Toyota are going to be causing many surprises this weekend.
Well,
they were a little lackluster at Donington. Yes, okay, Cook was going well early on until he had his small mishap. But the others didn't really show great pace. The laser tools to Toyotas were a little bit sluggish, dare I say.
Can I just put a trend and get a podium?
Well, yeah, but it was just a bit...
Okay. Yeah, I think Aaron Taylor-Smith in particular was a little bit, to quote yourself. But what I would say is that I think Cook is a dark horse for pole on the Saturday because he will have the full allocation of boost.
He will, yes.
Which is
also
not...
will a certain Mr. Ingram.
He won't have full allocation because he's eighth in the championship.
That is full allocation.
He's a full allocation. Yeah. Is only sixth? Just. Oh, okay, fine, fair enough. Yeah, okay. But then so will Morgan, will Rowbottom, so will De Leon.
It'll be interesting to see how much of a difference it makes round brands. Being such a small circuit as well, pretty much all drivers are going to be using the boost in the same sort of place. It's just the extent to how much boost they're going to be able to use.
And if they use too much.
And we've kind of seen from the opening weekend that the qualifying, the two 15-minute sessions, may not really mean very much if we're going to get the same sort of action that we had in the race to pole at Donington.
Interesting on that as well, just to quickly divert into the unofficial F4 Touring Car podcast, which I'm now launching. They are also doing a split qualifying form this weekend due to the amount of cars they have.
It's about 30-odd F4s this weekend.
And they've decided quite understandably that it's not safe to do a full qualifying session with that. So they are
God knows how they're going to race.
Well, yeah, they are going to, I suppose it's because everyone will be trying to find clear air and it's going to become a farce like we have seen in F1 at times. So they are going to do it. So they're going to split the grid into two. What's interesting is that it's similar to the touring cars in the sense that whoever sets the fastest time will be on pole, obviously.
Yeah.
But you could set the fastest time in group two, but you will still start on the even side of the grid.
Yeah.
Even if you're quicker than the guy starting second. So they're going to do it that... Yeah, whoever has the overall fastest time will be on pole, and then whoever's session that is will take the odd spots on the grid regardless of time.
The one thing that does equalise, and the same for the touring cars as well, is if we have inclement weather where you get one session that's bone dry and we start to get either a drop-off in temperature or a change of weather conditions completely, which is very possible this weekend by the look of it.
Yeah, that is true. So yeah, I just wanted to point out, if anybody's there on the Saturday and wondering what F4 are doing, that is what they are. That is what they're doing this weekend. Obviously, as you say, we've got a similar approach of the 30 minutes excitement that we all see with the touring car qualifying. It'll be exciting.
Okay.
Before the race sprint to pole event follows. Is there anybody who you are worried for this weekend?
Worried, obviously. Yeah.
You have fixed the battery on the car, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's one less thing to worry about.
I'll have the jump pack with me anyway.
I just want a friendly face.
Who am I worried for? Looking at how strong PMR were opening weekend, I'm not too worried for them, especially having the new car. I do think I'm going to get pelters here again, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm setting you up, really. I mean, you know,
thank you.
It's fine.
If we see more mechanical troubles for Plato Racing, then it could be a sour weekend for them.
Yeah, I think that this is a circuit where it favours a fast car, obviously, but also there's not a lot of technical corners to make time up in, as it were. That, you know, it is one that's with that long straight and with the speed of most of the corners, it really does suit a car that is set up to be straight line fast. And I don't necessarily think they've got the fastest straight line car on the grid, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know whether they've gathered enough data yet as well. It's all very well with the sim rigs that they've shown in their little series that they're doing, showing that they're getting plenty of practice behind the wheel, and simulations are showing that the car can work well, it's nice and slippery in a straight line and stuff like that, but it doesn't really make up for a lack of track time.
No, and if it rains this weekend as well, that is going to be, I mean, that goes one of two ways. Either the car is fantastic and it goes really well, or you suddenly realise we've not got a lot of data for this, and we've now got to put a wet setup on this. And of course, look, they all have worked on that in the factory.
Yeah.
People will be screaming in the comments or shouting, make sure you watch the documentary, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was discussing this with my dad, is that I have watched the Late Break Show.
Yes.
Now. And I kind of think that on the one hand, it's very interesting. It is very interesting. Mm. But I also don't think that he's necessarily the only team doing some of the stuff that he's doing.
No.
Like, no. The way just, sort of it was shot.
He's the only one showing it.
Yeah, the way sort of it was shot, you'd think that everyone else is working out of tin sheds with sort of cave drawings on the wall going, wheel. Whereas they're in this sort of exciting big factory. So I think some of the stuff he is doing is interesting, the salvage side of the cars and all that kind of stuff. And that makes perfect sense. But I also thought, and I said this point to my dad, that he can't be... Yeah, you don't put your trade secrets out in a documentary that's going out to the public. So I don't necessarily think that these things are as unusual as being made out. Otherwise, you wouldn't tell your competitors. No, otherwise, Dick Bennett is going to be like, that's a good idea. Let's go on eBay and find a few doors.
It's a really good insight as to how the team have come together and the extent that they've gone to make sure that they can be competitive. And they show that they were competitive on the opening weekend. But I think, as you say, they're very much showing bits and pieces that all the teams are probably doing up and down the paddock, trying to save weight where they can. And drivers, both Morgan and Robottom, are always going to come out and go, oh, yeah, this is the best setup that I've seen. Because they want to push the brand, basically. Yeah, exactly. Understand that as drivers. So until we see good consistency from them across a weekend, good...
mechanical
reliability, yes. Then I think at that point we can start to question whether they're going to be fully competitive throughout the whole championship. Until then, I think there'll always be a few question marks. There will be with any team.
As I said from the start, we did the preview, I think this is going to be a season where they will take a few wins here or there, they will take a few podiums here and there, but I don't think this is going to be anything other than a data gathering season to really push on to next year. It's hard to come into the touring cars as a brand new team. It's harder when you've got people like Napa who have got lots of resource and lots of really big talent. Again, Plato's got a lot of exciting, talented engineers.
Yes.
Look at the
a lot of them.
Look at the two race engineers of the last of the two champs on the grid. Mm. Yeah, they are both amazing. Spencer and the other chap whose name I've forgotten. Is it? No, it's not. No. Kokoza? No.
Yeah.
Corolla? No. That, yeah.
Yes. I know who you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is not a case of rocket ship coming up against a Reliant Robin and going, oh, we're much better. Yeah. You're coming into a sport that, okay, it's not the high tech end that you're seeing in F1, but there's still really serious teams here. You know, Virtue and Napa are two really, really big, serious outfits that have got a lot of resource as well. It's difficult to break into.
It is. I think it's going to be a weekend that, as I've alluded to already, the weather could play a part.
Yes.
Well,
let's do my little forecast.
I was going to say, you said to me earlier, it's looking like we may well get rain on Sunday.
Yeah, which means it'll be bone dry because that's always what happens. So
if we don't get burnt.
We are recording the podcast on a Wednesday at that time. Saturday is supposed to be dry with a small chance of rain throughout the day. And Sunday is billed as light rain, and race 3 is the most likely to be affected of rain. That is up to the high 60s, low 70% chance or coverage of area for West Kingsdown.
I think that could be enough to throw the cat amongst the pigeons in that final race. One, it's the final race, and they don't seem to care. And two, if you sprinkle a little bit of water in there, could we have half the grids starting on a wet tire and half the grid thinking, okay, we can make this through on a dry.
Yep.
Which, as we know already, knowing the sport for years and years and years, that will always shake things up.
Absolutely. And it's always interesting to see at what point does the crossover come, if it comes at all. Yep. We had that at Alton Park last year.
And how long do you leave it?
Yeah, well, I think had the race last number two, maybe three laps at Alton Park. I think was it Patterson who was on the dry that was coming through would have probably won that race. He was I think it was 8 seconds a lap quicker at one point, which is, yeah, might have been more than that. It was very, very interesting when that crossover comes in touring cars. It's not like a little gap. It's a sudden...
it's a cliff.
Yeah. Suddenly it's, they're doing the same time as him. He's now far, far quicker. So exactly. Have to see how that goes. For me, I'm not writing off Toyota just yet. The car goes well round here, generally speaking. Cook took a win here last season in the closing round of the season. Okay, it was a longer circuit, I know. But it's still, it's still a good shape. It's still a good car. And I say, Cook will come into this with full boost and he will not have a point to prove, but obviously he's a little bit on the back foot after Donington Park, not necessarily his fault. And I think this is a good chance for him to bounce back at a circuit that I think suits his natural driving style. It's similar in some ways to Thruxton.
One more team I would like to mention before we get into our predictions, and it's a team that relatively struggled at Donington. Restart need to have a good weekend.
Yeah, I completely forgotten about them. Yeah, fair point.
Okay, they gradually moved their way through the field throughout the day, but they started off on the back foot, it almost felt like.
Yes, agreed.
So I think both drivers are going to need to be trying to secure possibly even two, at least two, possibly three point score finishes for each driver.
I couldn't agree with you more. Just before we go into our predictions, I'll just do a quick run through of the day. So if you are looking at the Saturday bits and pieces, qualifying is at 2 o'clock. That will last about 25 to 3. The qualifying race sprint to pole event is the 15:05, so 3:05. Then on the Sunday, race one is scheduled for 11:30. Race two is scheduled for 2:45. And race three is scheduled for 5:30. So again, they are always subject to change depending on... any problems we have throughout the day. I've mentioned the standings a little bit before, so I'll just quickly run through the standings. I know it's early. I know that, you know, there's a lot of racing to go, but...
They are on our social media already if you want to take a detailed look.
So I'll just quickly run through the top five of the overall drivers. So Sutton leads the way from Rainford, Moffat, Camish and Shedden. In the Independents, Moffat leads the way from Rainford, from Shedden, from Patterson, from Doble. And then in the Jack Sears, Patterson leads that from Osborne, from Dorlin, from Selby. So yeah, lol to play for this weekend. Should we move on to our predictions?
Yeah, so as with every weekend, if you haven't watched before, we give out our predictions for now pole position, as in the qualifying pole, the sprint race or the race to pole winner. The three winners on Sunday, in no particular order. We found that too difficult.
Impossible.
And also the Jack Sears winner. It highlights normally a rookie in the championship or certainly a less experienced or less qualified driver.
And Sam Osborne, who has taken a win. Yeah, he's still in the...
Yes. And then we give you three general predictions for the weekend as well.
Right.
Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start us off, and I'm going for the pole. So this is who takes the qualifying, the best qualifying lap, and I'm going for Daryl De Leon. I think he'll have, well, I know he'll have full boost allocation.
Yep.
The BMW goes well around here, and De Leon's got electric one-lap pace. So for me, I think he will take pole.
I'm copy and pasting from last weekend, unfortunately. I'm going for Ingram for pole.
Okay.
Just with him set that little bit further back in the championship, I think he'll make the most of it this weekend, and he needs to bounce back from last time out, at Donington. Yes. With a good result.
Would agree. Who are you going for the sprint race to pole winner? Yeah, okay, fine. You're sick of that. I'm going for Moffat. I think he'll qualify towards the sharp end. I know he has slightly less boost than other people below him, but I think in race pace that car looks really good, and they were good here at media day.
Yep.
And they just seem pretty good out the box, and it might get people off our backs for not giving them enough credit for where they are.
I've gone for Moffat this season.
You have
fully behind him.
But yeah, no, I think you can make a case for De Leon, Moffat, or Ingram to win that. To be honest with you,
and your three winners across the weekend.
So Rainford took his first win here last season. I'm going for him to repeat the feat here. Again, it's his home circuit. He's quick round here. And again, the BMW I expect to be very good round here.
I have to agree. I've gone for him as one of my winners as well.
I've also gone for De Leon, who also took a win here last year. Yeah. Again, that pace, it might be a race three win potentially if he's just solid throughout the rest of the weekend. But again, it's hard to look past that BMW and his pace around the circuit. And this is more with race three in mind. I've gone for Dexter Patterson. Now,
you just said De Leon for race three. Just putting that out.
No,
there.
I said that I think De Leon could win either from a race three or... Okay. But with race three in mind, I've gone for Dexter Patterson, who really impressed me at Donington Park. I thought he had... I know he had three solid results.
Yep.
Won all three rounds of the Jack Sears.
Yeah.
I think he was in the top seven all weekend from memory.
He was.
So the way that car went in testing, and he was quick here in testing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to have a fair amount of TTB begin with.
That's very BMW and Audi heavy.
It is. BMW won all three races here last year.
Fair enough.
Who are your three then?
So, as I said, I've gone for Rainford. I've also gone for Ingram as well. I think he needs to bounce back with a win. Mm-hmm. And then, a little more controversially, I've gone for Dan Robon. Again, race three, okay. Reverse grid. I think he'll get his elbows out. And if we do have changeable conditions, anything can happen. And I think he's the kind of driver that could take advantage of anything could happen.
Okay, fair enough. Right, the general predictions then. So these are three.
Jack Sears first.
Oh, Jack Sears, my apologies. My apologies. I think we've gone.
I know you've gone for the same driver.
Yeah, but it's Patterson. He really impressed me last week out, as I said, at Donington. And I look at who's up against. I look at how those cars go around the circuit traditionally. And I can't see past Exeter this weekend. I just can't.
So apart from Silverstone, I think this is Osborne's best circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I've gone for Osborne this weekend.
You haven't updated it. I haven't even updated any of them, that's why. Okay.
I have one here.
Oh, yes, you have. I'm looking at the wrong place. Fair enough. Carry on.
So, yeah, I've gone for Osborne this weekend. I think he'll have decent pace. He needs to have better pace than last week or last time out. And being his home circuit as well, I think he'll have a lot more confidence around here.
Controversial. Is it his home circuit? It's from Nottingham.
Yeah, but the team's based...
I was going to say, Donington's his home circuit.
Okay, the team's based down there.
I'm going to go... I've not made it as a prediction as such, but I'm going to just say I don't have high hopes for Napa this weekend. Clip that up and put it out on the Monday.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
clip that up. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't necessarily think... I mean, Sutton, we know, is very good wherever he goes, but he does... He struggled here last year.
Yeah.
And this is the circuit, of course, last year where Camish decided that the best course for action to do a safety car restart was to turn the car off, which was very safe to do. You can't have any problems if you're not racing.
No, that's true.
Which, yeah, I mean, that sort of scuppered his weekend as well. So, but it did lead to quite a funny social media argument between him and Tom Ingram, which was quite funny. So, obviously, for Camish, he'll be looking to keep the car on this weekend, I should imagine.
Hopefully, yeah.
I'm not a driver coach, but...
It's normally the best way to go racing.
Yeah, I'm not a driver coach, but if... people were on the grid, I'm looking for one, I am available. So should we go on to our three?
Don't
general
charge much, do you?
No, I'm quite cheap. I'm a cheap date me. Should we go on to the three general predictions then? So these are where we try and have three general things that happen over the weekend. I will kick us off, and I'm going for no Sunday wins for Sutton or Ingram.
Bold, I think.
Double diamond, extra bold.
Bold, very bold.
Yep.
I understand this could well be a BMW stronghold, and that's why I've gone for BMW to outscore PMR. So two versus three.
Okay.
I think they're going to have a decently strong weekend. I know PMR are fairly strong as well, but I just think they'll have that little bit of an edge.
This is where BMW unveil their third car on the morning, and
that would
really please me. And then you'd be cheering Stephen Jelly in ways you've never felt you would before. Okie dokie. My next one is that all three German cars will score a podium. So that means that the Audi, the BMW, and the Mercedes will all score a podium this weekend. Not necessarily the same podium.
Oh, but they will all, that's what I was hoping you were about to say.
But they will all get a podium. I will say it has to be on the Sunday. I'll accept it can't be in the sprint race. They have to, but on the Sunday, they will all get at least one podium. And outright, not Jack Sears, not Independence, outright podiums on the Sunday.
Okay. I'm going for three different Jack Sears winners.
That's bold. That is bold.
So across the three races on Sunday, three different winners. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. And I kind of alluded to this. I've gone for no podium at all for Napa across the weekend. And I'll include Saturday in there as well. So there'll be no podium for Napa. That doesn't include if one of them qualifies second in the first, in the 30 minute section, because that's not a podium. No, we're talking the sprint and then the three races. There'll be no podiums for Napa across the weekend.
Can't wait for the race to pole.
Again, that doesn't include Jack Sears. If Osborne gets a podium, we're talking outright, just to be clear.
And then I might need, can I take some protection behind you?
I mean, you're bigger than me.
Plato Racing to have two or more DNFs this weekend.
Okay, so is that just on the Sunday, or are we talking...
Across four.
Okay, so not the initial.
No, the initial. Okay. So you've got the race to pole, and then you've got the three races on the Sunday.
Okay.
Two or more DNFs.
Interesting. And with that, we've just lost 100 subscribers, which, you know, which gives me a good chance to say, if you've not subscribed at the moment, help us offset the ones that we've just lost through Sam's comments by making sure you have liked and subscribed to our YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts pages. It means you get updates to when our pods are coming out. As we're doing a few different style pods this year, you want to make sure you've got the bell on for your notifications so you don't miss any of our ramblings about this sport and any of our exceptional wheel knowledge.
And if you think either of us are bonkers and completely wrong about how this weekend is going to fall, then please do let us know down in the comments below. Pick your race winners, your qualifying pole, your race pole, your jacksies. Let us know your predictions for the weekend. We'd love to hear them, and it creates plenty of controversy sometimes in the comments.
Does. And just remember to keep it nice. None of us have crystal balls. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this. I would have done the lottery numbers for the big Euro Millions. I'd be currently in a yacht somewhere, although probably not off the coasts of where, of the Canary Islands at the moment.
Ooh.
Topical. and tropical. So, yes, it's all a bit of fun. It's all a bit of light-hearted touring car chat. So keep it nice in the comments should you wish to make one. And make sure you subscribe, because we have seen our numbers rocket. They are slowly ticking up on YouTube. It takes you seconds, and it gives us so much more than you can ever know, because it helps push the algorithms on YouTube, which are always difficult. And it helps Facebook think that we are actually worthwhile as well, which sort of potentially puts some ad revenue our way as well, which is always good and helps us invest in the channel.
Yes, thank you for your comments so far. We'll be down there. Let us know if you're going as well, and we will bring you a review show on Monday, Tuesday.
I'm not going on holiday this time, so we'll be okay. Yeah.
And we'll bring you all the action from the weekend.
Goodbye for now.